Alan Grant, one of the humorists and greatest humorists and satirists of the 20th century, did write when he was concerned about violence, and I quote a very relevant portion of his writing on violence. And this is what he wrote. Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent. And he went on to explain that it is when people are incompetent in their field of endeavor that is easily resort to violence. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising. I'm sure you'll be wondering, what has violence got to do with Matters Arising? Yes, we're going to talk about politics. And the topic before us, do Ghanaian political parties abide by the code of conduct for political parties, the code which is very much in existence? Do they have any regard for this very important document? Is their comportment, politicians and their agents and their foot soldiers, you know, is their comportment actually regulated by this code of conduct? And in discussing this issue, I have with me Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education. Mr. Kujo is to my right. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising once again.
Good evening. Thanks.
I also have with me Mr. Papa Nketia, Director of Public Affairs of NCCE. Good evening, Papa, and welcome to
this
program. Yes, we've been very much concerned about whether people are taking due cognizance of a document of this nature, political parties code of conduct, which was actually published in 2004, which is the product of a very important political brainstorming that took place in Abuja, which brought together a lot of those who matter in the politics of our country. And this is there, but when you look at what people are doing, and you wonder whether a lot of attention is being paid to this document. When we come back from the break, I will first of all ask Franklin what he thinks of the kind of climate that is on the ground now in the run-up to the December 2008 election. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program. I'm ELRB once again, and I am in the studio with Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director at Imani Center for Policy and Education, and Ms. Papa Nketia, Director of Public Affairs of the NCCE. Now, before the break, I said I was going to ask Franklin to give me his views about the way the political campaign is going and the atmosphere in which the campaign is actually taking place. Frankly.
Yes, well, thank you very much. And
your take on the atmosphere in general.
Very interesting, though. But let me just say one thing, that we'd like to commend the IEA for coming up with this. Much as I think many people do not know about the code, I think that's a good step. The current scheme of things, in terms of the political dispensation, it's really interesting if you look at what the pundits are actually up to. But it's as if heaven is up for grabs, and it's as if down here there's so much hell that it is only at the top, really, that everything, when I say it is only at the top, that everything that one needs to live well appears to be, and it's unfortunate. What do I mean? I think the political climate is as if that is all we ever will be living for. It's just elections, which is sad. But the good thing about it, though, is that many more Ghanaians are becoming aware. And I think that even though the politicians are in a way, of course, they are mostly self-serving, I think they are going along, many Ghanaians are going along with them in this democratic dispensation because it is important for us. There are all kinds of skirmishes. NDC has said this, NDP has said this. There are accusations of incumbency, not even incumbency advantage, as if the incumbency really supporting a potential.
Those accusations, do they go counter to the code of conduct in themselves, in the accusations?
Of course they do. I mean, if you look at the codes, it's been said somewhere in the code that there must be some level playing field. So that if Honorable Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, goes to a rally ground and has, I'm told, 50 policemen guarding him, well, maybe he's part of the public order act that policemen should
be. Is it a verifiable act that indeed a presidential candidate of a party is being, you know, or having the protection of about 50 police persons?
Well, 50 probably, it's probably on the high side. It's just a figure that we mentioned. But if you look at the convoy that follows Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, all the
convoy of friends and
interesting, but if you see the cars that are being used, these are cars that we all know that were purchased by the state. That's not to say he's not an important figure. The fact is, if there is a code that they all have signed to, at least we need to see these being reduced.
I think we are now establishing a case of abuse of the incumbency,
of justice,
which in itself does not allow for a level playing ground.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, Papa.
I think that this code was done by the political parties together with the IEA, the Electoral Commission, and the FCC, and it was a resolution to abide by certain principles. So that you set up the ground rules and every body obeys them. But if you look at the way things are going, we need to be able to determine whether people are going by what they have put down, signed their signatures, and in the implementation it says every political party shall ensure that this code is made fully known to its members and that it is fully observed. In addition, the political parties are undertaking to publicize the code to the general public by all means available to them.
You are the MCEC.
Yes.
Are you convinced or satisfied that this document, as important as it is, has been publicized?
I don't think that the political parties have publicized them. We have done our bit, but when it comes to the national level, we are not part of the IPAC, for instance. Mm.
We don't convene
the IPAC meeting, so we are not part of it.
Not even as observers?
No, we don't have any observers either.
Okay.
And at the regional level, there's some amount of cooperation and harmonization of institutions that are supposed to ensure that things are done properly. But if you go through the code itself, it says, for instance, on the democratic imperatives, because democracy is a game that assures, some people call this multi-party democracy as a conflict model. If you are dealing with about 10 registered political parties, each having its own philosophy, how do you ensure that they can all speak out, we can make our choices without fighting among ourselves? It's difficult to manage it. So basically, if you have a guide and you abide by this guide, then it's going to help us all to abide and do this in a very peaceful manner. For instance, I mean, in the democratic imperatives that you find in page 2, it says political parties shall observe all rules and regulations relating to the conduct of elections and the maintenance of public order. Then 4 says, political parties shall publicly and without reservation condemn all forms of intimidation and political violence, irrespective of the perpetrators. Accordingly, all political parties renounce violence and pledge not to indulge in violence and intimidation of any kind. So this is their responsibility. When we read about the Kadama story and radio took the perspective based on their sympathies, there was
Alan Brand, one of the humorists and greatest humorists and satirists of the 20th century, did write when he was concerned about violence, and I put a very relevant portion of his writing on violence. And this is what he wrote. Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent. And he went on to explain that it is when people are incompetent in their field of endeavor that they easily resort to violence. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising. I'm sure you'll be wondering what that file has got to do with Matters Arising. Yes, we're going to talk about politics. And the topic before us, do Ghanaian political parties abide by the code of conduct for political parties, the code which is very much in existence? Do they have any regard for this very important document? Is their comportment, politicians and their agents and their foot soldiers, you know, is their comportment actually regulated by this code of conduct? And in discussing this issue I have with me, Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education. Mr. Kujo is to my right. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising once again.
Good evening. Thanks.
I also have with me Mr. Papa Nketia, Director of Public Affairs of NCCE. Good evening, Papa, and welcome to
Thank you, sir.
Yes, we've been very much concerned about whether people are taking due cognizance of a document of this nature, Political Parties Code of Conduct, which was actually published in 2004, which is the product of a very important political brainstorming that took place in Abuja, which brought together a lot of those who matter in the politics of our country. And this is there, but when you look at what people are doing, and you wonder whether a lot of attention is being paid to this document. When we come back from the break, I will first of all ask Franklin what he thinks of the kind of climate that is on the ground now in the run-up to the December 2008 election. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program. I'm ELRB once again, and I am in the studio with Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education, and Ms. Papa Nketia, Director of Public Affairs of the NCCE. Now, before the break, I said I was going to ask Franklin to give me his views about the way the political campaign is going and the atmosphere in which the campaign is actually taking place. Frankly.
Yes, well, thank you very much. And
your take on the atmosphere in general.
Very interesting, though. But let me just say one thing, that we'd like to commend the IEA for coming up with this. Much as I think many people do not know about the code, I think that's a good step. The current scheme of things, in terms of the political dispensation, it's really interesting if you look at what the pundits are actually up to. But it's as if heaven is up for grabs, and it's as if down here there's so much hell that it is only at the top, really, that everything, when I say it is only at the top, that everything that one needs to live well appears to be, and it's unfortunate. What do I mean? I mean, the political climate is as if that is all we ever will be living for. It's just elections, which is sad. But the good thing about it, though, is that many more Ghanaians are becoming aware. And I think that even though the politicians are in a way, of course, they are mostly self-serving, I think they are going along, many Ghanaians are going along with them in this democratic dispensation because it is important for us. There are all kinds of skirmishes. NDC has said this, NPP has said this. There are accusations of incumbency, not even incumbency advantage, just of the incumbency really supporting a potential.
Those accusations, do they go counter to the code of conduct in themselves, the accusations?
Of course they do. I mean, if you look at the codes, it's been said somewhere in the code that there must be some level playing field. So that if Honorable Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, goes to a rally ground and has, I'm told, 50 policemen guarding him, well, maybe he's part of the Public Order Act that policemen should be.
Is it a verifiable act that indeed a presidential candidate of a party is being, you know, or having the the protection of about 50 police persons?
Well, 50 probably it's probably on the high side. It's just a figure that we mentioned. But if you look at the convoy that follows Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, all the
convoy of friends and
it's interesting. But if you see the cars that are being used, these are cars that we all know that were purchased by the state. That's not to say he's not an important figure. The fact is, if there is a code that they all have signed to, at least we need to see these being reduced.
I think we are now establishing a case of abuse of the incumbency.
Obviously,
which in itself does not allow for a level playing ground.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, Papa.
I think that this code was done by the political parties together with the IEA, the Electoral Commission, and the FCC, and it was a resolution to abide by certain principles, so that you set up the ground rules and every other body obeys them. But if you look at the way things are going, we need to be able to determine whether people are going by what they have put down, signed their signatures, and in the implementation it says every political party shall ensure that this code is made fully known to its members and that it is fully observed. In addition, the political parties are undertaking to publicize the code to the general public by all means available to them.
You are the NCC.
Yes.
Are you convinced or satisfied that this document, as important as it is, has been publicized?
I don't think that the political parties have publicized them. We have done our bit, but when it comes to the national level, we are not part of the IPAC, for instance.
We don't convene
the IPAC meeting, so we are not part of it.
Not even as observers?
No, we don't have any observers either.
Okay.
And at the regional level, there's some amount of cooperation and harmonization of institutions that are supposed to ensure that things are done properly. But if you go through the code itself, it says, for instance, on the democratic imperatives, because democracy is a game that assures, some people call this multi-party democracy as a conflict model. If you are dealing with about 10 registered political parties, each having its own philosophy, how do you ensure that they can all speak out, we can make our choices without fighting among ourselves? It's difficult to manage it. So basically, if you have a guide and you abide by this guide, then it's going to help us all to abide and do this in a very peaceful manner. For instance, in the democratic imperative that we find in page 2, it says political parties shall observe all rules and regulations relating to the conduct of elections and the maintenance of public order. Then 4 says political parties shall publicly and without reservation condemn all forms of intimidation and political violence, irrespective of the perpetrators. Accordingly, all political parties renounce violence and pledge not to indulge in violence and intimidation of any kind. So this is their responsibility. When we read about the Kadama story, and radio took the perspective based on their sympathies, it was very difficult to make a decision who was wrong. But the chief imam, out of his stature as a holy man, his office came out with a statement accepting blame, for instance, as the third thing. So you expect that wherever the polls are, the political parties that were 2 or 3 or 4 days should be able to assess themselves and say, look, we were wrong here. But you don't hear from any of them. So what is it that, you were coming into my house, you bring young people, they come and fight and create trouble, and now I'm the one to apologize on your behalf.
Is that only incident that should send to us the signals, the disturbing signals that if care is not taken, certainly we'll have a few challenges of this nature to, as it were, money? If we listen to some of the statements that are being made and publicized, you know, in the media, RFK is not taking, well, what happened in Kenya is going to be child's play. I mean, the language that is already being used by those who are supposed to be the champions of peace and order, that language seems to be disturbing. And what are the political parties supposed to do in this regard?
Well, I think that's the reality, though, that when there's a saying, and I'm no good proverb speller, but then there's a saying that when you see your neighbor's beard burning, you obviously would want to fetch water by your side. Well, I guess when people want to preempt by saying that, listen, there is probably some...
Alan Grant, one of the humorists and greatest humorists and satirists of the 20th century, did write when he was concerned about violence, and I quote a very relevant portion of his writing on violence. And this is what he wrote. Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent. And he went on to explain that it is when people are incompetent in their field of endeavor that they easily resort to violence. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising. I'm sure you'll be wondering, what has violence got to do with Matters Arising? Yes, we're going to talk about politics. And the topic before us, do Ghanaian political parties abide by the code of conduct for political parties, the code which is very much in existence? Do they have any regard for this very important document? Is their comportment, politicians and their agents and their foot soldiers, you know, is their comportment actually regulated by this code of conduct? And in discussing this issue I have with me, Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education. Mr. Kujo is to my right. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising once again.
Good evening. Thanks.
I also have with me Mr. Papa Nketiah, Director of Public Affairs of NCCE. Good evening, Papa, and welcome to
the program.
Yes, we've been very much concerned about whether people are taking due cognizance of a document of this nature, Political Parties Code of Conduct, which was actually published in 2004, which is the product of a very important political brainstorming that took place in Abuja, which brought together a lot of those who matter in the politics of our country. And this is there, but when you look at what people are doing, and you wonder whether a lot of attention is being paid to this document. When we come back from the break, I will first of all ask Franklin what he thinks of the kind of climate that is on the ground now in the run-up to the December 2008 election. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program. I'm ELRB once again, and I am in the studio with Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education, and Papa Nketiah, Director of Public Affairs of the NCCE. Now, before the break, I said I was going to ask Franklin to give me his views about the way the political campaign is going and the atmosphere in which the campaign is actually taking place. Frankly.
Yes, well, thank you very much. And
your take on the atmosphere in general.
Very interesting, though. But let me just say one thing, that we'd like to commend the IEA for coming up with this. Much as I think many people do not know about the code, I think that's a good step. The current scheme of things, in terms of the political dispensation, it's really interesting if you look at what the pundits are actually up to. But it's as if heaven is up for grabs, and it's as if down here there's so much hell that it is only at the top, really, that everything, when I say it is only at the top, that everything that one needs to live well appears to be. And it's unfortunate. What do I mean? I think the political climate is as if that is all we ever will be living for. It's just elections, which is sad. But the good thing about it, though, is that many more Ghanaians are becoming aware. And I think that even though the politicians are, in a way, of course, they are mostly self-serving, I think they are going along, many Ghanaians are going along with them in this democratic dispensation because it is important for us. There are all kinds of skirmishes. NDC has said this, NDP has said this. There are accusations of incumbency, not even incumbency advantage, as if the incumbency really supporting a potential.
Those accusations, do they go counter to the code of conduct in themselves, the accusations?
Of course they do. I mean, if you look at the codes, it's been said somewhere in the code that there must be some level playing field. So that if Honorable Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, goes to a rally ground and has, I'm told, 50 policemen guarding him, well, maybe he's part of the Public Order Act that policemen should be.
Is it a verifiable act that indeed a presidential candidate of a party is being, you know, or having the protection of about 50 police persons?
Well, 50 probably, it's probably on the high side. It's just a figure that we mentioned. But if you look at the convoy that follows Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, all the
convoy of friends and
it's interesting, but if you see the cars that are being used, these are cars that we all know that were purchased by the state. That's not to say he's not an important figure. The fact is, if there is a code that they all have signed to, at least we need to see these being reduced.
I think we are now establishing a case of abuse of the incumbency.
Obviously,
which in itself does not allow for a level playing ground.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, Papa.
I think that this code was done by the political parties together with the IEA, the Electoral Commission, and the FCC, and it was a resolution to abide by certain principles. So that you set up the ground rules and every body obeys them. But if you look at the way things are going, we need to be able to determine whether people are going by what they have put down, signed their signatures, and in the implementation, it says every political party.
Alan Brand, one of the humorists and greatest humorists and satirists of the 20th century, did write when he was concerned about violence, and I quote a very relevant portion of his writing on violence, and this is what he wrote: "Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent." And he went on to explain that it is when people are incompetent in their field of endeavor that they easily resort to violence. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising. I'm sure you'll be wondering, what has violence got to do with Matters Arising? Yes, we're going to talk about politics. And the topic before us: do Ghanaian political parties abide by the code of conduct for political parties, the code which is very much in existence? Do they have any regard for this very important document? Is their comportment, politicians and their agents and their foot soldiers, you know, is their comportment actually regulated by this code of conduct? And in discussing this issue, I have with me Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education. Mr. Kujo is to my right. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising once again.
Good evening. Thanks.
I also have with me Mr. Papa Nketia, Director of Public Affairs of NCCE. Good evening, Papa, and welcome to
Thank you, sir.
Yes, we've been very much concerned about whether people are taking due cognizance of a document of this nature, Political Parties Code of Conduct, which was actually published in 2004, which is the product of a very important political brainstorming that took place in Abuja, which brought together a lot of those who matter in the politics of our country. And this is there, but when you look at what people are doing, and you wonder whether a lot of attention is being paid to this document, When we come back from the break, I will first of all ask Franklin what he thinks of the kind of climate that is on the ground now in the run-up to the December 2008 election. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program. I'm DLRB once again, and I am in the studio with Mr. Franklin Cujo, Director at Imani Center for Policy and Education, and Papa Nkechia, Director of Public Affairs of the NCCE. Now, before the break, I said I was going to ask Franklin to give me views about the way the political campaign is going and the atmosphere in which the campaign is actually taking place. Frankly.
Yes, well, thank you very much. And
your take on the atmosphere in general.
Very interesting, though. But let me just say one thing, that we'd like to commend the IEA for coming up with this. Much as I think many people do not know about the code, I think that's a good step. The current scheme of things, in terms of the political dispensation, it's really interesting if you look at what the pundits are actually up to. But it's as if heaven is up for grabs, and it's as if down here there's so much hell that it is only at the top, really, that everything, when I say it is only at the top, that everything that one needs to live well appears to be, and it's unfortunate. What do I mean? I mean, the political climate is as if that is all we ever will be living for. It's just elections, which is sad. But the good thing about it, though, is that many more Ghanaians are becoming aware. And I think that even though the politicians are, in a way, of course, they are mostly self-serving, I think they are going along, many Ghanaians are going along with them in this democratic dispensation because it is important for us. There are all kinds of skirmishes. NDC has said this, NDP has said this. There are accusations of incumbency, not even incumbency advantage, as if the incumbency really supporting a potential.
Those accusations, do they go counter to the code of conduct in themselves, the accusations?
Of course they do. I mean, if you look at the codes, it's been said somewhere in the code that there must be some level playing field, so that if Honorable Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, goes to a rally ground and has, I'm told, 50 policemen guarding him, well, maybe it's part of the Public Order Act that policemen should be there.
Is it a verifiable act that indeed a presidential candidate of a party is being, you know, or having the protection of about 50 police persons?
Well, 50 probably, it's probably on the high side. It's just a figure that's been mentioned. But if you look at the convoy that follows Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, all the
convoy of friends and
it's interesting, but if you see the cars that are being used, these are cars that we all know that were purchased by the state. That's not to say it's not an important figure. The fact is, if there is a code that they all have signed to, at least we need to see these being reduced.
I think we are now establishing a case of abuse of the incumbency.
Obviously,
which in itself does not allow for a level playing ground.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, Papa.
I think that this code was done by the political parties together with the IEA, the Electoral Commission, and the NCC, and it was a resolution to abide by certain principles. So that you set up the ground rules and every body obeys them. But if you look at the way things are going, we need to be able to determine whether people are going by what they have put down, signed their signatures, and in the implementation it says every political party shall ensure that this code is made fully known to its members and that it is fully observed. In addition, the political parties are undertaking to publicize the code to the general public by all means available to them.
You are the NCC.
Yes.
Are you convinced or satisfied that this document, as important as it is, has been publicized?
I don't think that the political parties have publicized them. we have done our bit, but when it comes to the national level, we are not part of the IPAC, for instance.
We don't convene
the IPAC meeting, so we are not part of it.
Not even as observers?
No, we don't have any observers either.
Okay.
And at the regional level, there's some amount of cooperation and harmonization of institutions that are supposed to ensure.
Alan Gren, one of the humorists and greatest humorists and satirists of the 20th century, did write when he was concerned about violence, and I quote a very relevant portion of his writing on violence. And this is what he wrote. Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent. And he went on to explain that it is when people are incompetent in their field of endeavor that is easily resort to violence. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising. I'm sure you'll be wondering, what has violence got to do with Matters Arising? Yes, we're going to talk about politics. And the topic before us, do Ghanaian political parties abide by the code of conduct for political parties, the code which is very much in existence? Do they have any regard for this very important document? Is their comportment, politicians and their agents and their foot soldiers, you know, is their comportment actually regulated by this code of conduct? And in discussing this issue I have with me, Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education. Mr. Kujo is to my right. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising once again.
Good evening. Thanks.
I also have with me Mr. Papa Nketia, Director of Public Affairs of NCCE. Good evening, Papa, and welcome to
the program.
Yes, we've been very much concerned about whether people are taking due cognizance of a document of this nature, Political Parties Code of Conduct, which was actually published in 2004, which is the product of a very important political brainstorming that took place in Abuja, which brought together a lot of those who matter in the politics of our country. And this is there, but when you look at what people are doing, and you wonder whether a lot of attention is being paid to this document. When we come back from the break, I will first of all ask Franklin what he thinks of the kind of climate that is on the ground now in the run-up to the December 2008 election. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program. I'm ELRB once again, and I am in the studio with Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education, and Papa Nketia, Director of Public Affairs of the NCCE. Now, before the break, I said I was going to ask Franklin to give me his views about the way the political campaign is going and the atmosphere in which the campaign is actually taking place. Frankly.
Yes, well, thank you very much. And
your take on the atmosphere, generally.
Very interesting, though. But let me just say one thing, that we'd like to commend the IEA for coming up with this. Much as I think many people do not know about the code, I think that's a good step. The current scheme of things, in terms of the political dispensation, it's really interesting if you look at what the pundits are actually up to. But it's as if heaven is up for grabs, and it's as if down here there's so much hell that it is only at the top, really, that everything, when I say it is only at the top, that everything that one needs to live well appears to be, and it's unfortunate. What do I mean? I mean, the political climate is as if that is all we ever will be living for. It's just elections, which is sad. But the good thing about it, though, is that many more Ghanaians are becoming aware. And I think that even though the politicians are, in a way, of course, they are mostly self-serving, I think they are going along, many Ghanaians are going along with them. in this democratic dispensation because it is important for us. There are all kinds of skirmishes. NDC has said this, NDP has said this. There are accusations of incumbency, not even incumbency advantage, as if the incumbency really supporting a potential.
Those accusations, do they go counter to the code of conduct in themselves, the accusations?
Of course they do. I mean, if you look at the codes, it's been said somewhere in the code that there must be some level playing field. So that if Honorable Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, would go to a rally ground and has, I'm told, 50 policemen guarding him, well, maybe he's part of the Public Order Act that policemen should be.
Is it a verifiable act that indeed a presidential candidate of a party is being, you know, or having the protection of about 50 police persons?
Well, 50 probably, it's probably on the high side. It's just a figure that's been mentioned. But if you look at the convoy that follows Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, all the
convoy of friends and
party it's interesting, but if you see the cars that are being used, these are cars that we all know that were purchased by the state. That's not to say he's not an important figure. The fact is, if there is a code that they all have signed to, at least we need to see these being reduced.
I think we are now establishing a case of abuse of the incumbency,
obviously,
which in itself does not allow for a level playing ground.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, Papa.
I think that this code was done by the political parties together with the IEA, the Electoral Commission, and the FCC, and it was a resolution to abide by certain principles. So that you set up the ground rules and every body obeys them. But if you look at the way things are going, we need to be able to determine whether people are going by what they have put down, signed their signatures, and in the implementation it says every political party shall ensure that this code is made fully known to its members and that it is fully observed. In addition, the political parties are undertaking to publicize the code to the general public by all means available to them.
You are the MCEC.
Yes.
Are you convinced or satisfied that this document, as important as it is, has been publicized?
I don't think that the political parties have publicized them. We have done our bit, but when it comes to the national level, we are not part of the IPAC, for instance. And we don't convene the IPAC meeting, so we are not part of it.
Not even as observers?
No, we don't have any observers either.
Okay.
And at the regional level, there's some amount of cooperation and harmonization of institutions that are supposed to ensure that things are done properly. But if you go through the code itself, it says, for instance, on the democratic imperatives, because democracy is a game that assures, some people call this multi-party democracy as a conflict model. If you are dealing with about 10 registered political parties, each having its own philosophy, how do you ensure that they can all speak out, we can make our choices without fighting among ourselves? It's difficult to manage it. So basically, if you have a guide and you abide by this guide, then it's going to help us all to abide and do this in a very peaceful manner. For instance, I mean, in the democratic imperatives that you find in page 2, it says political parties shall observe all rules and regulations relating to the conduct of elections and the maintenance of public order. Then 4 says, political parties shall...
Alan Brand, one of the humorists and greatest humorists and satirists of the 20th century, did write when he was concerned about violence, and I quote a very relevant portion of his writing on violence. And this is what he wrote. Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent. And he went on to explain that it is when people are incompetent in their field of endeavor that they easily resort to violence. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising. I'm sure you'll be wondering, what has violence got to do with Matters Arising? Yes, we're going to talk about politics. And the topic before us, do Ghanaian political parties abide by the code of conduct for political parties, the code which is very much in existence? Do they have any regard for this very important document? Is their comportment, politicians and their agents and their foot soldiers, you know, is their comportment actually regulated by this code of conduct? And in discussing this issue I have with me, Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education. Mr. Kujo is to my right. Good evening and welcome to Matters Arising once again.
Good evening. Thanks.
I also have with me Mr. Papa Nketia, Director of Public Affairs of NCCE. Good evening, Papa, and welcome to
the program.
Yes, we've been very much concerned about whether people are taking due cognizance of a document of this nature, Political Parties Code of Conduct, which was actually published in 2004, which is the product of a very important political brainstorming that took place in Abuja, which brought together a lot of those who matter in the politics of our country. And this is there, but when you look at what people are doing and you wonder whether a lot of attention is being paid to this document. When we come back from the break, I will first of all ask Franklin what he thinks of the kind of climate that is on the ground now in the run-up to the December 2008 election. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program. I'm ELRB once again, and I am in the studio with Mr. Franklin Kujo, Director, Imani Center for Policy and Education, and Papa Nketia, Director of Public Affairs of the NCCE. Now, before the break, I said I was going to ask Franklin to give me his views about the way the political campaign is going and the atmosphere in which the campaign is actually taking place. Frankly.
Yes, well, thank you very much. And
your take on the atmosphere in general.
Very interesting, though. But let me just say one thing, that we'd like to commend the IEA for coming up with this. Much as I think many people do not know about the code, I think that's a good step. The current scheme of things, in terms of the political dispensation, it's really interesting if you look at what the pundits are actually up to. But it's as if heaven is up for grabs, and it's as if down here there's so much hell that it is only at the top, really, that everything, when I say it is only at the top, that everything that one needs to live well appears to be, and it's unfortunate. What do I mean? I mean, the political climate is as if that is all we ever will be living for. It's just elections, which is sad. But the good thing about it, though, is that many more Ghanaians are becoming aware. And I think that even though the politicians are, in a way, of course, they are mostly self-serving, I think they are going along, many Ghanaians are going along with them in this democratic dispensation because it is important for us. There are all kinds of skirmishes. NDC has said this, NPP has said this. There are accusations of incumbency, not even incumbency advantage, that's of the incumbency really supporting a potential.
Those accusations, do they go counter to the code of conduct in themselves, the accusations?
Of course they do. I mean, if you look at the codes, it's been said somewhere in the code that there must be some level playing field. So that if Honorable Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, goes to a rally ground and has, I'm told, 50 policemen guarding him, well, maybe he's part of the Public Order Act that policemen should be.
Is it a very viable act that indeed a presidential candidate of a party is being, you know, or having the protection of about 50 police persons?
Well, 50 probably it's probably on the high side. It's just a figure that's been mentioned. But if you look at the convoy that follows Nana Akufo-Addo, for instance, all the
friends and
I'd be interested, but if you see the cars that are being used, these are cars that